listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Let's talk some college football. Tomorrow morning, right here on KOAL, we'll send you to Rice-Eccles Stadium. The Utah Utes will participate in the home opener as they take on Northern Illinois. Utah riding the high from that big victory over BYU last week. And we'll talk about that and some of the other games that could affect the college football playoff right now with my great friend Antoine Staley. Antoine, of course, a writer at Athlon Sports, always kind enough to take the time out to talk college football with us. Antoine, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
It's good to be with you, Jordan.
Let's dive right into it by talking about week one, your week one takeaways. Oklahoma looked good offensively. Should not be a surprise. Jalen Hurts was the real deal. And for the listeners out there who do not know, you have a vote for the Heisman Trophy. I asked you, who caught your eye? You laughed. You said Jalen Hurts. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Jalen to capture the Heisman Trophy. And the reason I say that is because a lot of voters are weird, and they specifically will not vote for someone based on the story around it. So I'm wondering if the fact that Oklahoma's had two previous quarterbacks win the Heisman Trophy, if that strays some of the older voters away. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. People kind of get tired of the same thing. Not only do you see it in college football, you see it in professional sports with Major League Baseball and the NFL and things like that. So yeah, people want different, they want change, they want different things, but I definitely think that Hurts put himself in a good position with all the amount of touchdowns that he scored last week, and also the fact that Oklahoma doesn't have the toughest of schedules either. I definitely think that they'll be favored in all of their games, including against Texas. Whether they win that game or not remains to be seen. But, yeah, I definitely think he has a good chance to win it. And plus, he's a quarterback, and everybody loves quarterbacks, the voting for quarterbacks. So I definitely think that he put himself in a good position to be a front runner for it. Also, like Jonathan Taylor, I like what he did against South Florida last week, too, as well. So those two really stuck out to me.
If we talk about Jonathan Taylor and Wisconsin here for just a moment, it seems different this year with Wisconsin. There are some seasons, Antoine, I go into the year and I say, okay, it's Wisconsin once again, a little bit overrated. I don't know that I have that feeling with this year's Badgers team. I think they're legit. I think this is one of the best Wisconsin teams that we've seen in a couple of years.
Yeah, I definitely think they did exactly what you have to do against a quality opponent on the road. I think South Florida does have some issues there of their own. But, yeah, I mean, they won 49-0. It was no let-up. They played really hard throughout the course of the game, and Taylor just had a monster game in both the first and second half. So, yeah, I think they're one of the sleeper teams in college football. I don't think a lot of people are talking about them, and I think they're a potential 10-win team and also could wind up in the Big Ten Championship too as well.
Let's talk about this weekend's games. There's truly four or five games, I think, that'll catch even the casual college football fan's eye. Texas A&M at Clemson. First two top 11 clash between two squads. I mean, last week we had Oregon, we had Auburn. It was a classic game. It was a thriller, actually. I don't know that this one's going to live up to that type of contest because, again, that was one of the best games of the weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But what we saw from Texas A&M, what we've seen from Clemson, this will definitely be an intriguing one. 1:30 p.m. start time, I believe, here, Mountain Time. For those wondering, it'll be on ABC as well, Texas A&M at Clemson.
Yeah, I definitely think last year's battle between the two was eventful, was a classic as well. If you remember, Clemson won by 2 points. Kelly Bryant, the quarterback at the time, had a really good game and really bailed them out there. And A&M could have easily won that football game. This year, the game's in Death Valley and Clemson, and I don't know if it's going to be as close to what it was last year. I thought Clemson kind of underestimated A&M, especially in Jimbo's first year there. This year, I definitely expect Clemson not to underestimate the A&M team. A&M is obviously coming in there ranked this year, highly acclaimed, and I think Trevor Lawrence, and the weapons that they have there are going to definitely not only hold up the spread and also cover the spread, but also win the game pretty handily.
Yeah, all the talk in the offseason was about Trevor Lawrence, and I still believe he would have been the number one pick in the draft had he decided, or had he been able to go to the NFL draft. I don't think there would have been any question about that. There was a lot of hype around this kid. He was in a lot of storylines throughout the offseason. But Antoine, it wasn't Trevor Lawrence that was super impressive in that season opener against Georgia Tech. It was Travis Etienne. I mean, he was fantastic in that game.
Yeah, another Heisman candidate there is Etienne had a monster game. Actually, Lawrence kind of struggled against Georgia Tech defense, and Etienne had a monster game there, ran all over the Georgia Tech defense and put on the show. And that's the thing about this Clemson team. They have different ways to beat you. It's not going to be just – can't be just – it doesn't have to just be Trevor Lawrence each week. It can be ETN. It can be the host of their excellent wide receivers there. So, yeah, they have a ton of weapons offensively. I know they lost a lot on the defensive side of the ball, but they definitely have one of the most explosive offenses there. And I definitely think that the reason they're going to reach the college football playoff once again is because they have a variety of ways to beat you. And I think that last week against Georgia Tech, you saw that.
Let's move on and talk about LSU at Texas. I actually think this will be the best game of the weekend. It's number 6 LSU against number 9 Texas. I'm still not 100% sold on the Longhorns just yet. I think there's been some big strides made, obviously, since the departure of Charlie Strong. But again, I'm not 100% sold yet on this squad. I think this is going to be a big step into the right direction. You take a look at LSU, Joe Burrows. He was really the guy last season. If he didn't turn the football over, LSU was in games and they found ways to win. He was really the key. That's a real simplistic way of looking at it, Antoine, but that was the fact last year. If he took care of the football, this team found ways to win games, and they did it on the defensive end.
Yeah, then the games that they lost, and yeah, it's that simple. He didn't take care of the football. I remember watching the game against Florida. He turned the ball over many times and cost them a critical game against the Gators there. So, yeah, also at Alabama, I know you look at the final score and you think that Alabama just steamrolled LSU, but that certainly was the case, at least not in the first half. So, yeah, that's the main thing with Burrow. He has to take care of the football, and he's able to do that. I definitely think that LSU not only has a chance to win this game, which I expect them to do, but also compete for the college football playoffs. The Tigers have a great defense. They're stacked there. They have great, excellent skill position players around them. So, yeah, that's the big key for him, the quarterback position, which has been a key for LSU or a factor of why they hadn't been successful throughout the course of a few years.
You mentioned the defense for LSU. One name I'm going to throw out there for people to pay attention to is Jacob Phillips. Kid's a ball player.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the he's a big stud and definitely one of the best players in the country, if not one of the best defensive players in the country at least. I expect him to have a really good game, and he's going to have to try to contain the Texas offense there and force some turnovers.
Let's move to the Pac-12. I do like this game, Stanford and USC. However, I think I thought the outside chance that USC had of sneaking up and winning the Pac-12 South went out the window when JT Daniels went down this past Saturday against Fresno, because the bottom line is that kid is a very good football player. I know USC fans will try to comfort themselves and tell me that JT Daniels isn't the end-all be-all for that offense. In my mind, Antoine, he truly is. I think he's that good of a football player. And remember, JT Daniels, he was, and I could be wrong on this, but I always took it as he's kind of the guy that gave Clay Helton another year at USC, and now he's gone. I think there's some massive problems in SoCal.
Yeah, I definitely think too. I really liked USC coming into the year. I thought they also had a chance to win the Pac-12 South and really get Clay Helton off the hot seat, and now after Daniel's injury, he's back on the hot seat despite winning last week over Fresno State. It's not going to be easy for, especially even though they are at home, the playing Stanford team that's always well coached over David Shaw. But you got an inexperienced guy, passer, taking on a Stanford team that's always well coached and always consistent defensively. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go. But yeah, I mean, I know USC is still the favorite, actually, believe it or not, to win this game. But I like the Cardinal the way they're taking, especially considering the circumstances with the Trojans.
Yeah, you know, I guess the only reason why USC would still be the favorite is because it is at the Coliseum. KJ Costello, the quarterback for Stanford, he's not going to be playing this game, so they're going to have to go to the backup, Davis Mills. To me, that affects USC a little bit more playing with a backup quarterback than it does Stanford, just based on the way these two teams approach the game offensively.
Yeah, Stanford relies, obviously, they're more of a smash-mouth running team. USC relies more on the quarterback. I definitely could see Sean take the ball out of the quarterback's hands and try to rely more on, one, rely on their defense to win games, and two, rely on that running game. So, yeah, that's why I give Stanford the edge there. But I do actually expect this to be a really close game. But, yeah, I definitely think Stanford has the edge here slightly.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. Another game that I am interested in, and it's an early kickoff, 10 o'clock Mountain Time. Army's going to travel to the Big House to take on Michigan and Ann Arbor. Now, last week, Michigan, who's one of the perceived favorites coming out of the Big Ten, they didn't look that great against Middle Tennessee. And look, week one, a lot of things can happen. I typically tell people, if you get a win, I don't care if it's a one-point win or a 30-point win, crumble up week one, throw it away. Week two is going to be completely different. But Army, you go back to what they did with Oklahoma just a year ago. This is a dangerous team. It takes a minute to get acclimated to what they want to do. If Army can hang around for a quarter or two, we could have a pretty epic finish in the second half. I don't know if it gets to that point, but just based on the fact that Michigan didn't look great last week and knowing what we know about Army, I like this game.
Yeah, the spread, I believe, is like 23 or something like that. So, yeah, you look at Army, they run the triple option. They've given teams fits with the triple option. And as you alluded to, Michigan didn't look necessarily really good last week as well. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Army would at least keep it close there, especially with the running game, because this is something Michigan doesn't see every day. They don't usually run against teams that run the triple option. It's been a while since they have. I can't remember the last time they have off the top of my head. But, yeah, I definitely think it's going to be an interesting dynamic, especially for those players, the defense for Michigan. It would not surprise me if Army were to keep it close, at least heading into the third quarter. I expect Michigan to win. I think they will win, but it could be a lot closer than what a lot of people think.
Is there a game that you're interested in that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I actually the North Carolina Miami game, which I'll be in Chapel Hill Saturday for that, because you look at North Carolina, they had a big Matt Brown's return, they had a big win over South Carolina last week. There's a lot of buzz and excitement for the Tar Heels heading to their first home game. The game was in Charlotte last week, and they play a Miami team that, I mean, they had a chance to beat Florida a couple of weeks ago. They're 0-1. They definitely don't want to start 0-2, especially losing a conference game. So it's a critical game, really, for both of them. North Carolina could try to have a stranglehold on the ACC Coastal Division, and Miami is going, if they go 0-2, especially when they still have to play Virginia Tech on their schedule, and Florida State. It's definitely not looking good for them if they were to start 0-2 on the start of the year.
Antoine, I want to end with this. We did talk about the Heisman contender, a couple of Heisman contenders, I should say, in Jalen Hurts and Jonathan Taylor at the beginning of the segment. Just for Ute fans, based on week one performances, I think at least for the Maxwell Award, you have to throw Zach Moss's name out there. It looks like Utah is going to ride this guy an awful lot this season. I'm not too impressed with what the Utes have as far as an air attack, which means Moss is going to be the focal point of this team. If Utah was to win the Pac-12, can you see Zach Moss at least getting an invite to the Heisman ceremony?
Yeah, I think it's possible. He definitely had an excellent game week one against BYU. So, yeah, had nearly 200 yards. So, yeah, I definitely think that he'll be in the mix there. I just think that Utah, they have to play well during their nationally spotlight games. That's really what it's all about. Just playing well in front of millions and him putting up really big performances. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about Zach Moss yet, but if he was to go out and have a big year rushing close to 2,000 yards and Utah would have been successful winning the Pac-12 South at least, I think there's an outside chance he could be invited to New York. But, yeah, it's definitely possible. He's a really excited player, and I think more people need to tune in and outside of the Mountaineering and the Pac-12 to learn who he is.
Last question. I got to talk BYU for a moment as well. BYU loses to Utah last week. Tennessee, they suffered just a terrible loss. Those two teams will battle it out tomorrow night, 5 p.m. kickoff. Pruitt or Sataki, who needs this one more?
Tennessee. Tennessee, they got embarrassed at home against Georgia State last week, which is like one of the big upsets of the weekend, and they have to have this. I think a lot of people like Jeremy Pruitt there in Tennessee and Knoxville, but losing a game like that to a Georgia State team that just created the program not too long ago. It's really embarrassing considering. I mean, it's pretty much rock bottom for Tennessee these last 12 years or so since they fired Phil LaFleur. They haven't been the same program. I remember Tennessee they were a national power at one point in time, but now they're kind of an afterthought. So yeah, they definitely need this win, especially they need to beat BYU. They need to beat Chattanooga next week before they enter SEC play against Florida.
Antoine Staley, always a pleasure to get you on the show to talk college football. Please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You find me at Athlon Sports. Also find me at Twitter at Antoine Staley.
Antoine Staley, always great to get him on to talk college football. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Utes.